Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Spirit, how about you?
Presented by Finley Roofing on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Let's talk about a couple of things that are going on. One, Falcons and OTAs continue. This is week two, and Kevin Stefanski spoke to the media today. So did Tua Tagovailoa. We'll have more tomorrow, guys, as some of the coaches address the media as well. Guys that you want to hear from, including our defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich. One of the things Brick did say today, Mike, is this is the best safety tandem he's been around.
Big time. I mean, we got some dudes, man, and you know, that's another contract. We were just talking earlier in the show about is this the preseason where, you know, Drake London gets his new deal? What's that deal going to look like? And, you know, I don't want to lose Jesse Bates because I still think he's super competitive. I mean, this is one of these guys looks like he can play and be competitive at age 33, 34 and beyond, doesn't he?
It does. I see no fall off. The guy continues to make plays, and, you know, we joke with him all the time about – well, you won four games for us last year.
Literally.
Literally. I mean, a pick or stripped or whatever might happen. But, yeah, man, I think, you know, we got really lucky with the kid out of Notre Dame last year, and we didn't really know how good Xavier was. And then
hurt.
Yeah, and well, no, that's Billy Bowman.
But, Bowman got injured. Xavier Watts Xavier was also winning us, or putting us in a position to win games.
Picks, just being in the right place. So we'll hear more from Brick tomorrow on this and what they had to say about the O-line because Bill Callahan spoke. The other thing going on, Mike, is college football. And yesterday, can we play this for our audience, about Kirby talking about breaking away? This is the soundbite that everybody ran with yesterday. And Mike and I briefly discussed it because we were like, okay. But this is kind of the fallout. Now you've got other coaches commenting about, all right, what is the state of the conference? More importantly, what about football and how we're going to go about our business? And Mike said it. I think for the first time since Greg Sankey's been in charge,
right?
You have coaches not all on the same path, and that's okay. It doesn't mean, you know, Sankey's going to lose his gig. It just means like, hey, there's some disagreements about how things need to get done. Here's what Kirby said in regards to like, hey, we need uniformity across the board in college football. And if we can't get it, well.
But I've said this for a long time to our president. I've been a huge advocate that if we can't find rules that everybody plays by, then we should, you know, play our own. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid to break away and say that our conference is strong enough to go out and have and play. I mean, like, if we could actually function and it financially would make our programs more stable and we could support things financially, I'm talking about all the sports, and do by our own rules, I'd be all for that. I mean, I've been to this meeting now 10, 11 times, and it's frustrating at times to say, well, we can't do this because of litigation. We can't do this because of litigation. We can't do this because we'll get sued. We can't do that. And we're just trying to do things for the betterment of the sport and the betterment of the student-athletes. And that's not curtailing what money they make. I'm not advocating that they make less money. I'm fine with what student-athletes make. I'm trying to make it where it's as equal and as comparable footing for everybody, and it's not a race to the bottom, as they say.
Said to Carl earlier, it's like basically taken over from Nick Saban as like the elder statesman, certainly the SEC, if not all the college football. Like what are you saying? Just how do we get there? You know, and by the way, the other thing that came out of Destin this weekend, this week, is, you know, how the coaches popped off about the 9-game schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And you just mentioned Sankey saying that, you know, some guys, Brett McMurphy had the story where guys saying they felt misled. John Sumrall hadn't even coached a minute in the SEC as a head coach. He was the one that said that. Then we get to, you know, the other aspect of all this is the new rule, not rule changes, but the laws we'd love to see passed to make, quote, football right. A lot of moving parts to all that we'll get to in a second. But Kirby's a guy that, like, he's a voice as a part of this conversation. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with this bipartisan bill they're trying to run up the flagpole. There's a lot of moving parts to it, but I think Kirby's – I wish that we had that czar. Remember that Saban was going to be the czar of football?
Yes.
I mean, it was a nice thought, right? You kind of need that. One guy, one vision.
I do. I just don't know who wants to take that on. Limiting athletes transferring, limiting athletes' eligibility to a maximum of 5 years. These are just outlines of this protective Protect College Sports Act that they're trying to get passed or at least get introduced to potentially go to both houses and be passed. You need legislation like this to really for it to be effective. And I'm not telling you that an executive order doesn't help, but you need real legislation that's passed by Congress to have it have the effect that it needs to have. And that's why this is interesting, you know, prohibiting former professional athletes from playing in college. That's that whole overseas, I played overseas, and now I'm coming back over here and I'm going to play in the NCAA. They're trying to limit all this stuff and also do what's best for college sports. Right. And again, I said to Mike, I don't know if all this stuff sticks, but you got to have a starting point.
Well, I mean, for college basketball, a guy was in the G League, that's professional basketball.
That's right.
I mean, it's pretty much cut and dry, you know? And we talked about some of the other things that, you know, I think could potentially, you know, get us on the right track. Some guys don't like the idea of one transfer per your five-year period, and you only get 5 years. You're not at your point. You're not playing until you're, like, 27.
But, Mike, I do. Think about Dylan Raiola.
It's a joke.
It is. One time to say, you know what, this is not the spot for me. I totally get. That's fine. Five spots?
No. No, and that's, you know, I know the COVID year was kind of, you know, created a unique situation between a red shirt where a guy could conceivably be 25.
Yes.
You know, still playing college ball. I mean, people used to make fun of when Florida State had Chris Winkie after playing minor league baseball these years. Now that was like the norm the last couple of seasons.
It feels that way.
But the other thing is also, how would you pool all the loot? You know, all the money and the idea that, you know, Brett McMurphy reports the bill includes opportunities for schools to collectively pool rights. So the idea is everybody would be on even footing, but do the big dogs who are making all the loot want to help share the resources? I can't see that happening.
Well, look, the rich want to get richer, but now if you're going to do this and have an equal playing field for everybody, that's what's got to happen. You mentioned John Summerall. One of the things they want to do in this Protect College Sports Act, it's Dukes and Bell, if it was to go forward, is also say, hey, Lane Kiffin, your team made the playoff.
You're coaching that team.
You're not allowed to leave right now. And I want you to hear how John Summerall, the new coach at Florida, addressed this question because he was at Tulane. And he said, look, if Tulane would have told me I couldn't have coached, what would you have done? Listen to what he said.
Coaches always say to control what you can control. In hindsight, should you have stepped aside at Tulane, or do you think you made the best?
I would have stayed at Tulane and not taken any other job. I was not going to leave a team playing for a championship to go coach another team. That's not in my DNA. I ain't built like that. Couldn't do it. I just couldn't. That's not a shot at anybody. Honestly, it's not. So if Florida or any other school that wanted to offer me their head coaching job was going to tell me the terms they needed it to be on, the answer for me was I can't take the job. Sorry. I just can't do it.
Right.
Because those kids had given me just too much. And it just was, I don't know, it wouldn't have been fair. Now, I went into my team meeting at Tulane when I let them know I was leaving. And I said, hey, do y'all want me to coach in the game or no? Like, hell yeah, you're our coach. So I was like, all right, I'll coach. But if they told me no, I would have gotten out. But they all were like, yeah, we didn't come this far individually. Like, let's finish this thing.
Right. And that's all we've ever said about Lane Kiffin. You know, I mean, we can all debate, you know, the LSU is sitting up here and Ole Miss will always be down here. But a lot of guys like and really vibe what John Summerall's putting down. You don't stab your team in the back the way Kiffin did. You could have said the same thing to LSU. Mm-hmm. I don't care what any – I'll argue. I'll die on this hill. Who are you getting over Lane Kiffin for LSU? I'll wait for it.
I'll wait. Yeah. And that answer from Summerall, and by the way,
it.
I really like him, by the way. I think Florida might be onto something here. We'll see. But I think they might have found the right guy. But I love his answer as well. What's up? Oh, you got something for us?
Yeah. So kind of the last hour or so, we got the coaches meetings going on right now down there in Destin. Pete Golding, you guys know he's in the midst right now, I guess, of a tampering thing with Dabo out there in Clemson. Mm-hmm. About a linebacker who he supposedly took a photograph of a $1 million contract and sent him to him like a day after he started up here at Clemson. Pete Golding, at the center of this high-profile investigation right now of alleged tampering, has informed the NCAA he will, quote, expose rampant tampering in the sport if he is sanctioned.
Oh.
A person close to the situation told USA Today Sports.
Which would just be Lane Kiffin pilfering all those guys from Ole Miss, amongst others, but that would probably be on the top of the list.
Wait, is he threatening that if you do this to me?
You go after me.
If you do this to me.
Yeah, I'll name names. I'll burn this whole thing to the ground.
That's what he's saying?
That's what he's saying.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, some guys thought Golding's a bit of a loose cannon when they hired him. That was the knock. But, you know, he also...
If I'm going down, I'm going a whole lot.
That's what I'll say.
But, you know, he did, you know, win a couple of games and almost beat Miami, beat Georgia.
Yeah. All right. That's interesting.
This thing is bigger than Nino Brown, and I got to listen for it.
Bigger than Nino.
They were going to kill my mother. It was Akeem Akbar. It was him.
The brother from the bank.
The good-looking brother from the bank.
You know what? I kind of want to see this go down for Pete Golding. I want to see what happens. You going to do this to me? I want to see what he's going to do.
So
I'll expose all of y'all.
So if we take this New Jack City riff to the full conclusion, does Lane Kiffin hire somebody to be there? Idolater! You reap what you sow.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
And for those that hadn't seen New Jack City, please do. It helps you follow along with our program about once a week.
Hey, man. Hawks Mike signing general manager Anse Soleil to a long-term contract extension and promoting him to president of basketball ops. As we said, it gives him control of all the basketball moves, personnel, and stuff like that. I don't think a lot changes for him. Guys, he gets input from Quinn Snyder. Here to tell you. So for Anse, this is just, again, Mike said it, expands his titles
right.
And allows him to have a little bit more control. And look, this is a thing where now they're trusting him, right?
Right.
They're trusting
him. You know, and just we said it earlier in the show. We get, by the way, I do think, and I think you'd agree with me, that this thing's coming to a conclusion on Thursday night in, I think the Spurs can... they could probably extend to 7, but I mean, if OK plays like they did, OKC plays like last night, I think this thing's a wrap.
Yeah.
But we saw Hardenstein and Holmgren, and you've seen all this athleticism and Ananobi. That's another thing we don't have, a guy like that. You know, we hope that Jalen evolves to be that guy, but we need some bigger bodies. We got to make some hard decisions. And as we said, I mean, I love CJ McCollum, but not for 3 years, right? Maybe even 1 year. He's not going to take that. You know, what are you going to do? Can you fix, by the way, if I'm on say, you definitely have this conversation with your coach. How are we fixing Reese Hoshea? You know? I mean, I know you say you had to preach patience. The guys take 4 years to develop or 5.
Yeah.
But Reese Hoshea's got to – you can't even have a guy on the floor that's the first overall pick. That's got to be a priority on that, you know, the items of action for this team, right?
Yeah, well, he has to be more of a contributor next year. There's no debating that, Mike. I mean, you can't go into this part of his young career and – you know, we're in a major playoff series and this guy's sitting the bench. You can't
do you that. Think Soleil thinks, and they maybe not say this publicly, that, you know, maybe we did some good things, but yet we may have to take a step backwards. And I don't want to hear that. I know you don't want to hear that.
No.
But the idea that, you know, let's invest in the right free agents. You can go get, you can get proven size and things you need right now and then still have your draft and let those guys develop on their own timeline.
Yeah. I think we hopefully are only taking steps forward. The only step back is who develops and how fast. That's the only from a developmental standpoint. But like if you're telling me from a player standpoint and what we're trying to acquire, that we shouldn't be taking a step back. By the way, you bring up OG Anunoby, who's been a beast. This kind of tells you the maturity as far as or the maturation process for guys. Oh, what do we have in this draft? We got the 22nd pick overall. Is that right? That is correct, right? 23rd? Mm-hmm. So you guys know who the 23rd overall pick was in 2017?
A.G. Anunoby?
Correct. It means he's been in the league, what, 7-8 years now? Now, Mike, look at his development. Look at where – and he's not playing for the team that drafted him. My point is this is that thing that happens where when he's drafted 23rd in 17, everybody's like, well, I think he's a good player, but I don't know. Now there's not a team that wouldn't take OG.
Right. I mean, look, the second round's a total crapshoot, but you've seen guys do it. Jalen Johnson was a mid-round pick. Mm-hmm. We've seen, you know, we know where he is now. The question for me is like, you know, you don't, but point guard, big man, we've talked about this. You got Ace Anuel. I had a dog fan earlier in the show. So what about Ace Anuel? He's not ready.
No.
I mean, he's a bigger body, but he's still skinny.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
And he's still a guy that you wish, like, in a perfect world, he played 3 years at Georgia and he came out NBA ready like guys used to. They don't do that.
No, they don't. We've got plenty more on the Falcons tomorrow, Braves as well. And, of course, we're talking about all the storylines coming out of the NFL. We're not the only ones on the grass. OTAs, a bunch of teams around the league, and a lot of stuff going on. We'll have it all for you tomorrow as we're chasing down some other guests as well. We got to get out of here, though. Turtles got a full show. Big O, let's clear our throat.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.